Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda Sitwaya, Gadadhara, She was the old black dog in the jar. She see Radhika snapped over the banana side. Kunda. Radhakunda, giddy go, vadan kijai, vadan da, vadan kijai, vadan kijai. Jagada the Sami kijai, vadamai kijai. She might have lost the day, kijai. Some of it a pokta, frame, kijai. Go, Premananda, hadi hadi. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Navani Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gaurani Pachani Namaste, Srimati Bhavi Vashtati Deya Shantam. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 10th Chapter, Text 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nityam Shoot, Shama, Dehasha, Taritarasya, Adaridasyana, Drasyana, Akanshanaha, Indriyane, Anushushyante, Hinsapi, Nivartate Nityam Shuchyama Dehasya Adaridrasya Nakamsana Indriyananu Shushyante Himsapi Vinivartate Nityam Shuchyama Dehasya Daridrasyana Kamsanaha Indriyan Yannu Shushante Hinsapi Vinivartate Nityam Shuchyama Chamadeyasya Haridrasyana Kamsanaha Indriyanyanu Shushanti Himsapi Vinivartate.
Ladies,
Nityam, always, shoot with hunger, shama, weak, without necessary strength, dehasha, of the body of a poor man, daridrasya, poverty stricken, anakanchanaha, always desiring to get sufficient food. Indriyani, the senses, which are compared to snakes. Anushushanti, gradually become weaker and weaker, with less potency. Hinsa api, the tendency to be envious of others. Vinivartate, reduces. Translation, always hungry, looking for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So please, nobody get upset with Prabhupada's first statement here. According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating. Welcome to Fiji. What's the most common disease here? Diabetes, right? And tuberculosis is a disease of undereating. Not many people have tuberculosis here. So we don't worry about that in Fiji. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor to be tubercular. Yavat artha prayojanam. We should eat frugally. Everybody understands the word frugally? And keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness, as recommended elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10. Masha Nandriya Pritir Rabbo Jivaita Yavata Jivasya Tattva Gigyasya Dharto Yasya. Civilization, human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong. So that one suffers from disease and one increases and an envious fighting spirit. In this age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development, and as a result, they're opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops, and brothels. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. So, nityam chucham adehasya vidrasyana kanchanaha Indriyanyanu Shoshanti Insapeven i varte te. So om gana te varanda sha garan jana shlakaya. Chakshuram nirintam yena tasmai shigavena maha. So I think everybody here is familiar with a verse from the Upadeshamrita. Can you another verse? Vacho vegam. What's the rest? Vacho vegam. Nobody knows. Vacho vegam. Jiwa vegam. Udarupashta vegam. Right? So, it's an interesting verse. Sarvam apaman putti vinsa shishat. Anyway, so, it's very interesting. We have these pushings in this body. They come from the body. Vachu, like the words. You know, just we want to speak. The mouth is like uncontrollable. Vachu, vegam, it push. Vegam means to push. And then the mind is pushing. I need this. And then Krodha. And then especially Udarupashta vegam. The tongue, the belly. And the jiwa vegam, sorry, left one out. Jiwa vegam, udarupashta vegam. The tongue, belly, and genital. Prabhupada describes in this Upadeshamrita, these are all in the straight line. So you eat, you have your belly full, and then the sex desire is there. And the tongue, by many of the acharyas, is described as the most difficult one to control. Just like you have this prasadam prayer. O Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance. And the senses are all networks of paths leading to death. You know the translation? No. Everybody says the prayer, but they have absolutely no idea what it means. I think you all know the Bengali of it, right? No? Anyway. So that was one of the first things that was taught to me when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Before you eat, you say this prayer. And we actually said it in English so that we could understand what we were saying. Oftentimes we do things and we don't even understand what we're saying. Like we have our pranam mantras that we say, we bow down, and we try to say them as quickly as possible so we can get up and do our real business. But actually, when I say the pranam mantras, I'm thinking, you know, my own Vishnu Padaya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the dearmost servant of Krishna, who has taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna Vistar Bhutale in this earth. And then, namaste, Saraswati. I offer my obeisances to the disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti, namaste, Saraswati. Maybe we are everybody. Who is preaching Gauravani Pracharane, you know, the message, the preaching of Gaura. Gaura, of course, is Lord Chaitanya, Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvashesha Shunyavadi, that means a personalism and voidism, in the Western world. Paschacha Deja Tarni. So oftentimes we don't think about these things. So anyway, getting back to the Prasadam prayer, this material, oh Lord, this material body is a place of ignorance. And that's enough to ruin your day. Especially if you ladies who want to decorate yourselves in the morning when you look in the mirror on the wall. Who's the most attractive one of all? Right? And you say, place of ignorance? No, it's not a place of ignorance. It's kind of nice. Young, let me put some a nail polish on the place of ignorance. So anyway, let me comb the hair on them. Even men, of course, are doing that too. Sometimes I come back after a long time to see my disciples, and they have longer, nice hair on them. And some of them have ears. Just dead cells, isn't it? Isn't hair just dead cells? Am I right or wrong? Is it alive? No, I mean, inside it's alive. It's producing all these dead cells that come out of the body. So, there's decorations on the dead body. Sorry about this, ladies. So, anyway, so Sahira Avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Sahira means body. Jitendriya Tekala. And the senses, Indriya, are networks of paths leading to death. Ooh, it's kind of frightening, isn't it? Especially before you eat. I just say that. Getting ready, you know, to eat this really nice, whatever you eat, you know, rotis. Everyone here is addicted to rotis in the morning. That's because your forefathers would farm in the morning, and they needed the strength to farm. But you're not farming. You're sitting down all day long. You're eating rotis. Isn't it? People that don't think when they eat, they think, this is the way we eat. But you have to eat for your service to Krishna. No, I'm not prohibiting rotis in the morning. Don't worry. Because I know you're all addicted. So, but that's why I think what I eat. I think, you know, I'm going to eat something that's going to help us to Krishna. Or I'm going to sit down all day long and not get any rotis in the morning. So no wonder everyone's getting sick. They don't need rotis in the morning. And, or whatever, you know, heavy. I'm looking, sometimes I'm eating fruits in the morning and looking at everybody else. Oh my God. It's no wonder that in Fiji the average life expectancy is 27 years old. I mean, I'm exaggerating. It's low. It's actually one of the lowest in the world. Because you're supposed to eat, like Prabhupada said, if you can work like an elephant, you can eat like an elephant. That's fine. So you go out there and work all day long. By the tradition, like I said, many of your forefathers were out there in the fields. And so that's fine. You know, you need 100 rotis because you're working hard. And then it's healthy. You know, you get strength, healthy. So one should, with eating, one should be thinking of service. That the tongue. Because the tongue will be attracted to so many things that may not be helpful to your health. I mean, of course, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, when one first comes, we tell them, eat up into your, what? The top of your head. And because, you know, it's necessary to get rid of all the bad stuff that's in your body. I remember when I first joined the movement, yeah, I ate a lot, and I was in pain after I ate. I would have to lie on the side and go, I overdosed of prasada, but it was good. And then, of course, there were so much spices in the food at that time, you know, a lot of chili peppers, that we got sick. You know, we had to end up in the bathroom a lot. And the devotees would say to me, you're really getting purified. You know, it's a standard thing the devotees say. Whenever you get sick, or when a devotee yells at you, it's purification. So we had a lot of purification. Okay. So, Sarira Vijaya. Anyway, giving a purport on this. So the senses are networks of paths leading to death. Why is that? Because Yanendriya Priti Aprodoti Vasadamanya Nunam Pramata Kurute Vikarma. This is described by Lord Rishabhadev in the Bhagavatam. Nunam Kurute Vikarma. Yanendriya Priti Aprodoti. Our senses are very dear to us, right? And I'm not talking about the spiritual senses, the material senses. Spiritual senses are great, they're cool. You know, look at a picture of Krishna, Use your eyes for looking at a picture of Krishna. Use your tongue, your nose for smelling a flower offered to Krishna. And tongue for eating prasadam, but not too much. I mean, the spiritual senses are fantastic. And if I didn't have eyes, I couldn't see the beautiful form of the deities. You know, so it's very important. Or ears, I couldn't hear Krishna Katha. And then what would my life be like? So, Gyanendriya Priti Apranoti, Lord Shambhala says, Nunam Kamate Kurute Vikarma. Then one performs vikarmic activities. Because the senses ultimately can lead you to do things that are vikarmic means you get bad karma for it. And we may not be aware of the bad karma, but the bad karma is lying there ready to pounce on you. You know, the effects are lying there in the background. They're not yet mature. Isn't it? You read next to your devotion. There's karma that's mature. What is karma that's mature means you're ugly. That's okay. Or you have legal problems. Or, you know, you don't have any friends. That's mature karma. That you can understand, you know, oh, it's bad karma, I have bad karma, you know, whatever. But there's immature karma, which has not yet come out, and you don't know what's lying there in the background, you know, it's just like, it's like a bad dream, that there's some demon hiding behind the sheet or something like that. And that's the bad part. Anyway. Sorry about being so heavy. So, Chirira Vichitaj, Jitendriya Tekar, do you feel like Vishaya Shalari? You are. So, of all the senses, the tongue is the most gracious and uncontrollable. But then there's hope at the end of the prasadam prayer. It's not all bad. You know, I mean, the first part is material body is a place of ignorance, and that sense is all networks of leading to death. That of all the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and controllable. This Krishnanath is too much for me. And then, but the last part is nice. But you, Lord Krishna, are so kind. You've given us this prasadam, Bhagavad prasadam, to help us control the senses. And in love, call out for Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to please help us. So anyway, so you get depressed in the beginning, but then there's hope at the end, the prasadam prayer. So that's my analysis of the prasadam prayer. So, anyway, so if, as stated here, if one is poverty stricken, the senses are more or less under control. But that's not the solution. That's only temporary arrangement. Because you have, getting back to karma again, you have this thing called Papa Bija. That doesn't mean your father, whose name is Bija. Papa Bija. That means, basically it means you have this desires, all these desires, but they're just not, you're not able to actually, you're not aware of them. I mean, just like you have, all right, let's talk about a cute little baby who later on will become a lusty demon when he gets older. He's so cute, adorable. Let's say Robin, for example. I'm sure when Robin was born, he was cute. I mean, you would hold him just like you hold the babies now. And wasn't that a cute little baby? Oh, coochie, coochie, coo. Then, because his tendencies were actually lying as seed, you know, they weren't manifest yet. Then he grows up, oh my God, little baby Robin's become a demon. But he had the tendencies all along. Why? Because his mother was such a great devotee, Kekasi. No, she was a Rakshasi. She was actually sent to lure Miss Roberts, right? So they would have a kid, you know, who, Miss Roberts was a good Brahmin. He was the father of Kuvera. And if you have to be a father, it's good to be a father of a rich guy like Kuvera. So he was the father of Kuvera, and by his Brahmin wife. But when Kekashi came, being sent by the demons, he just succumbed. She just came to him. Actually, it's described in the Valmiki Ramayana that when he got married to her, all the brahmacharis left the ashram because they couldn't stand that Guru Maharaj being married to Rakshasini. He is Guru Ma. Guru Ma means the wife of the Guru. So who is Guru Ma? Kekasi. I think Gurudev has some spiritual problems there. So because the son takes after the mother, the daughter takes after the father generally. So, and also he had brahminical tejas power. So he had a Brahma Rakshasa. Very powerful. Of course he was a devotee, I understand Jayant Vijay's story. But in any case, and then as he developed, his demoniac tendencies came out. So it's like that with the Papa Beach, you know, the seed of desire. You know, right now, I mean, I've seen that too sometimes. Here in Fiji, someone's a really nice devotee. And this has happened all the time. And then they migrate and they become very rich. And all of a sudden, Hare Krishna, what was that? Ah, it's something I did when I was a kid. Isn't it? Something when I was small, you know, it was before I really understood the value of life, which is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. So when we find this sometimes, when someone gets a lot of money, a lot of opulence, or a lot of followers, therefore Lord Chaitanya says what? Nadanam najanam sundarim kavitam ba jagadisha kame mama janmani janmani sure bhavatak bhakti ahoyitukitwe. That what was there originally comes out. It's not that they didn't have it, but it comes out. So what do we do about it? Right now we have to be very serious about our chanting and bhakti, because bhakti fries the papa bija, gets rid of it. Otherwise it'll come out. As soon as you get something, you get more prasadam. You become a sannyasi and they feed you like anything, you know, it's like last night, you know. All this prasadam, you know. Anakut. You know what anakut is? Anyone know? That's when they make a mountain of prasadam, like for worshipping Govardhan. There was a big, big mountain of prasadam at a place called Anakut Kshetra, the place of the Anakut. And Govardhan ate everything, but he didn't become crazy. And he wanted more. He said, Anyor, Anyor, Anyor. And they said, no more. You've eaten enough. No, they didn't say you've eaten enough. We don't have any more. Anyor. And so they, what are we going to do? He's going to get angry at us. And they gave him a tulsa. And then he was satisfied. But so one has to really, really do his bhakti seriously, the chanting very seriously, so that these things rise up in these demoniac tendencies. Because basically in Kali Yuga, everybody's born Kalo Shudra Sambhava with demoniac tendencies. And you give them a chance and they rise like that. So one has to be very, very careful. Anyway, so yesterday where we had to abruptly end the class, I told you I would describe about my experience in Krishna consciousness and training in Krishna consciousness. So we'll go back to that. And that will help one control the senses, because actually the whole point is to have that training to make the mind, to make the intelligence very strong, because as we know, there is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And Prabhupada said, the intelligence is this close to the soul when the intelligence is fixed in Krishna consciousness. So our business is to make the intelligence very strong. That means to be to be focused on the goal of Krishna consciousness, or focused on helping people become Krishna conscious, but to have that primary sankalpa, that focus, understanding, goal. So, anyway, so this is the training I had. And I mentioned before, I started before I came to Krishna consciousness in a very wealthy family and everything like that. I mentioned that yesterday. And then what happened is that, you know, joining the movement was a real austerity as far as waking up early in the morning at an ungodly hour. I said that yesterday. Waking up early in the morning, sleeping on the floor. Oh my God. Because nowadays the devotees are softer, everyone has a bed. You know, it's so the Brahmacharis have beds? What? Well, how do you sleep?
Sometimes
in bed. Okay. That's good. 50-50. So, we just had sometimes a straw mat. Had to fit in there. All of your saris, because I didn't wear saris, but anyway, so all your saris or all your dhotis, and as I mentioned yesterday, we had to share clothes with everybody. And here I was coming from that situation where, you know, so much clothes, cars, everything. Oh, another thing that happened was very interesting. I joined the movement and I had a sports car, you know, really nice. Very proud of the sports car. The first day when I lent it to a devotee, smashed it. Can you imagine the thing I was most happy to share in the world? I'm sorry. By Krishna's grace, I didn't get angry. I mean, somehow or other, you know, Krishna just... Because I had met Prabhupada. That's the point. Just by a few moments in association with Prabhupada, my whole consciousness changed. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sashpoi, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sarva, Siddhi Hoy. So then I was accustomed to living, you know, practically a poverty-stricken life. With 30 people in the same room, you couldn't roll over at night. Because if you rolled over, you'd probably commit a Vaishnava aparada by hitting someone. You know, sometimes there was even a sannyasi. You wake up and a sannyasi, you know, with a sannyasi, obviously, sleeping next to you. So what do you do? And then you had to all share the same bathroom. I was so accustomed to private bathroom. So everybody, and that meant a 10-second shower in the morning. I mean, how did 30 people share the same bathroom? And you all have to be in Mangalarti on time. Can you imagine that? No hot water. And then if someone used the hot water, use it all up. You used all the hot water up. You sense gratifier. You lusty dog. Anyway, we were young. We were all 20. And the only adult in the whole Hare Krishna movement was Prabhupada. And so, anyway, it was training and helped me, all right, you can live like this, you can live like this. And then, you know, after I finished with that initial training, I was able to do a lot of different things that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. You know, I traveled in a van with several other devotees distributing books all over the United States. And that's difficult. And you know, taking a shower from a bucket in the morning. And when it was 10 degrees below zero, you know, in centigrade, talking about that type of thing. We were out distributing books to people. Can you imagine that? Here in Fiji, if it gets to be like, so about centigrade, if it gets to be like 23 degrees, everyone's putting on the stocking hats. I say, juvenile sometimes, you know, sometimes I'm here during the cool season, a stocking hat, three sweaters, and swimming. I said, it's not cold. Isn't that true? You know, so then we were out there, you know, distributing books in Prabhupada's books. It was actually a place called Chicago. It gets so cold sometimes that if you stay out too long, your nose will, you get frostbite. And then they have to cut off your nose or something like that. It was so cold that there's a lake there called Lake Michigan, and we used to park our cars on the lake in the winter. It was frozen solid. It was a parking lot. So then because of that initial training, I was ready for anything. All right, and then fast forward, Fiji's not an artist area. I'm not going to talk about that. That's sense gratifier loca. So fast forward, when I decided to start a temple in a place called North Carolina, we basically didn't have any resources. So we lived out, basically, you know, I had a little travel trailer, but the bathroom was outside, shower, and for like 15, 20 years, I showered outside with a bucket, and sometimes when the water hit the feet, it turned to ice. And I'm not just bragging about it. It was fun. Because it was fun. Prabhupada said, if you train up people early, they consider austerities to be fun. And I never got sick. And as soon as I had like a comfortable life with 10 devotees fanning me all the time, it's a bad Bollywood movie. So, you know, soft bed. Disciples buy me this big, big, soft bed. Then, you know, not so as healthy as I was before. But it was fun. The point I'm making is that's the verse I was quoting. When you're young, if you actually learn to enjoy austerity, then later on it actually becomes fun and you're able to do amazing things. So Prabhupada was in a situation that he was able to endure so many difficulties. I was thinking about how Prabhupada printed his first books. He didn't have money for food. He spent all the money at the printer. If you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll hear this. Can you imagine? He didn't eat, and he would go to the printer, and the printer would say, you know, did you take breakfast? And he said, no. And then somehow or other, he'd get the printer to buy some prasadam, or give him some prasadam. And then so much austerity, but Prabhupada never got depressed. If someone is not accustomed to austerities, they get depressed when things get tough, isn't it? Oh, there's no sweet rice, no corn. No ice cream. No. What else? Anyway, just, you get depressed. But if, so this sort of training, I mean, anyway, so Prabhupada never got depressed. He was always very enthusiastic. Dealing with us, when Prabhupada first came to America, he had to clean up after everybody. Took a very humble position. He had to roll rotis for everybody. Because they all wanted rotis then, too. And so, it really helps Krishna consciousness. And then, when you're put in a difficult situation, when it comes the time of death or you're very sick, you'll be able to tolerate. Because the whole point, the whole point is to tolerate. Yes, the body is going to push you in different ways. But the mind and the intelligence has to be very strong. So you can tolerate the pushings and not get into it. That's a really important point to understand. It's not that we become a devotee or, you know, we go advanced in Krishna consciousness, that you're not hungry anymore or don't want to eat the same things anymore. I mean, when I was in semi-devotee, I would sometimes eat 1.5 gallon of ice cream at once. And I still want to do it. Isn't it? But because I'm able to control, then it doesn't bother me. I still want to do it. And everybody knows when I first came to Fiji, everybody cooked things with cheese for me. There's so much cheese, everything, the rice with the cheese, the paneer in it, and the halva with the paneer, and the potatoes with the paneer, and the paneer with the paneer. But then one day, I saw my Ayurvedic doctor. He says, "You've got to give this up." And I'd say, I said, "I'd rather die." But then I was thinking, actually I was having some health challenges. I was thinking, you know, what is the purpose of my life to serve Krishna? And then I was able to change because I was focused on purpose. What is the purpose? So if I can leave you with anything, that's the point. Focus on your purpose. I'm not criticizing people who eat this or that. But, you know, what is your purpose? And then your senses and mind will come into line in that way, automatically. But if you focus on giving something up, you never won't be able to give it up. You say, "Oh, you have to give up this or give up that." "Oh, no, I can't do it." But if you think positively, because you can't do a don't, if you think positively, what is the goal in my life? Then automatically, you know, whatever, the eating, the sleeping, everything else comes automatically there. And so anyway, that's Krishna consciousness, you know, controlling the eating, controlling the sleeping, controlling, you know, just like getting up early in the morning. You know, I get up early in the morning. And the reason is I'm thinking this is my purpose in life. It's part of my purpose. And it's no trouble. When I first joined the movement, it was trouble. Getting up early was just like hell. Isn't it? I go, "Oh my God. Can't I sleep another 5 hours or something?" A comfortable bed, you know, pull the sheets over your head. I mean, when I was young, also, it was so comfortable that some days my mother would serve me breakfast in bed. How would you? We had a special table that would fit under the bed, be over the bed. Anyone see these tables? It's like in the hospital. Same thing in the hospital. So it's such a comfortable life, isn't it? Under the table, under the bed, and just sit there. You roll over. Roti's. No washing hands. No nothing. So, but now, because I understand what's good for me and what's good for helping others, it's quite easy. Everything's easy. So that's the point. You have this basic training, you focus on your goal, and Krishna consciousness becomes very, very easy. It's not a problem. It's the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. Isn't it? And it's happy. Not only is it easy, it's blissful. I wouldn't want to do anything else. It's miserable. Isn't it? Waking up late in the morning, It's like being a slug. So, any questions or comments? Okay, questions, comments, arguments, problems. Don't worry, I'm not prescribing diets for any of you. Depends on who's doing the RT, but there'll be some answers. Okay, questions? Yeah.
Hey, Shindu Maharaj. My question was related, how can we get fixed in our sadhana?
I already described that. By having the goal, knowing what you want in life. If you know what you want and you're focused on it, then automatically you will do what's required. Like if someone that wants to run in the Olympics, you all know what the Olympics is? No. No. No one knows what the Olympics are. Okay. Olympics is a game where people compete in different things. There's runners, there's people who throw little balls in the air, there's people who, what else they do? Swimming, all sorts of things like that. So if you want to really win the Olympics, right? Let's say you want to win the Olympics in prasadam eating or something like that. Actually, in America, they actually have competitions of binge eating. Binge eating means how much they can eat of a particular substance. Horrible things. But anyway, so if you want to run, be a runner and run 100 meters in 2 seconds, which is impossible. Then you have to, you focus on it. Every day you're out there running. Every day, and they have a sadhana. Sadhana means practice. Because they're focused on their goal of winning. They're not thinking of the running per se. Oh, running, I really love running all day long. And they don't really, they may, but anyways, the main point is they're thinking, I want to win the Olympics. Or like here you have rugby, isn't it? They're out there practicing. See, every day the rain is coming down. You know, I'm driving in the street and everyone's playing rugby and the rain is coming down. They're slipping in the mud and everything like that. And I think, oh my God, that's determination. Oh my God. So, or studying in school, become a doctor. We gave the example of Bhupanuga yesterday. You got to understand what's your goal. What's really important to you? I mean, what's important to me is serving Prabhupada and bringing people to Krishna. And I focus on that. Other things, you know, obviously I take care of my health and everything because that's part of it. Because I take care of my health because I'm responsible, the body is used to serve Krishna. So, anyway, that's the important point. If you ask how to become fixed in your sadhana, become fixed to your goal and the sadhana of Krishna consciousness. And then the sadhana, you automatically start to do the right things. I mean, of course, you'll ask people and you find out what you have to do, but it's pretty easy. Krishna consciousness is the easiest thing I've ever done in my whole life. Going to the university was hard. It was hard. Even when I was young, I mean, I hate to admit it, even when I was young, you know, falling in love, that was hard. Having your heart broken was hard. But before Krishna consciousness. But you know, it's just, this is the easiest thing I could imagine. It's like going skiing, going down the hill. Of course, none of you know what I'm talking about. It's just like, enjoying life. So, anyway, so, what's the question?
Sri Maharaj, I had a question. You mentioned Bhakti in your lecture today, and I was wondering, you mentioned something about these tendencies. Just to add on to what Navin Prabhu had asked about sticking to your goal and having a fixed goal and how everything just blows out, not having a focus. Maharaj, what about bad habits? Because sometimes bad habits are hard to break. Would you say?
Well, it's the same thing, the goal. See, oftentimes people think about the what and the how, but not the why. Does everybody understand that? You know, think about how, you know, so the actual details of bhakti, which is good, but, and, you know, what am I doing bhakti? But they don't think, why am I doing it? You know, why am I getting up early? Why am I chanting? Why am I serving the devotees? I mean, after a while it becomes spontaneous, I have to tell you that. It's not, you know, you think of why, but then after a while you really enjoy it so much. Then it, you come to a higher platform of bhakti. But in the beginning, you think of why, and the bad habits go away. I mean, it's really easy. You know, we're teaching the easiest thing in the world, isn't it? Just all you have to do is think of why. I mean, like even in the material world, if someone wants to be successful, they have to think of why. No one, you know, a successful material person doesn't get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't. I mean, if you look at someone, one of our devotees here has a hero, a material hero. His name is Elon Musk. What are we? Anyway, Advaita is not here right now. Isn't it? His hero is this Elon Musk. You know, he asks him, who do you like the best? Krishna or Elon Musk? No, he's so, but if you look at someone like that, and I'm not saying you should become some materialist and make a lot of money, it's just not important, but they're really focused on what they're doing, their goal. And so, you know, here's someone who's a billionaire, and he sometimes sleeps on the floor of his factory because he has a goal, you know, whatever, produce a lot of cars. I'm not saying it's a good goal, that's not my point. The whole point is I'm making it about goal orientation. That if you think like that, then, and he's not complaining, he doesn't look miserable to me. Because ultimately, you know, Yamadutas will come. They will drive him away in one of his own cars. Unless he takes up Krishna consciousness. And the interesting thing, a lot of these successful entrepreneurs, when they were going to the university, they used to eat at the Hare Krishna temple when they were young. A lot of them. Because they were poor when they were young, and the only food they could get was at the Hare Krishna temple near them. So, but I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, the habits, you realize, oh, this is not such a good habit, because you don't concentrate on the bad, you concentrate on the good, on the positive. And then automatically, you know, what is my goal? What is my identity? Also identity. That's connected with the goal. What is my identity? And, you know, I'm a servant of Prabhupada. That's my identity. You know, I was doing Guru Puja this morning and I was thinking, you know, that's my identity. I'm Prabhupada's servant. And that's my whole life. And then, things are just blissful. There's no confusion. No confusion. Anyway, it's easy. Someone will say, that's easy for you to say. I said, no, it applies to everyone. I'm not anything special. Krishna says, samaham sarvabhuteshu namedvaishyasti napriha. Send me equal to everybody. You know, sometimes we think, oh, Guru Maharaj has some special favorite disciples. You know, sometimes I'll even joke about that. I'll say, oh, you're my favorite disciple. But it's not like that. Everybody has the mercy. You just gotta take it out. You know, and then just think, you know, change your identity. I'm a servant of Krishna Guru. I'm a servant. My goal is to, like Prabhupada said, what would please him the most is bringing people to him, Krishna, to Krishna's lotus feet. That's Prabhupada's favorite offering. I remember there was this time with his Divine Grace to Mount Krishna Maharaj, when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was preaching in America, and Prabhupada wanted to bring him back to India, some of you devotees will remember this, because Prabhupada had no good managers in India. It's interesting. And so, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's best manager in the movement. And he came to America and he was ready. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj was pretty intelligent. He knew what Prabhupada had planned. So he brought in all these new devotees, and each and every one offered Prabhupada a flower. And Prabhupada said, no, you stay here. So we understand from this that this, and of course Krishna in the Gita says, you know, no one is more dear to him than the person who teaches Bhagavad Gita, who brings others to Krishna consciousness. When you bring people to Krishna, you will experience so much ecstasy, it's unbelievable. Believe me. If you simply do that in your own life, if you actually distribute a book at your workplace or get someone to chant Hare Krishna, it's such a fulfilling feeling. Krishna in your heart starts dancing when you do that. So, I think, well, fortunately we have this message from Jari this morning. So, we have another question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Sanskrit verse is Tasmat Sankirtaman Vishnu Jagavanga Mahasa. Could you please analyze the first word in the Sanskrit? Yes, what's the question?
Maharaj, you shared the story about your fancy sports car.
Yeah.
My question is, what is the level of tolerance in spiritual life?
The level of tolerance? I mean, how much should you tolerate? Is that the question?
Yes.
You accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. I mean, it's not that we tolerate everything. Whatever is favorable to Krishna, yes. That's a level of tolerance. You think like that, that's a standard. Yeah, I mean, don't let someone smash your sports car. Not a good idea. Just give it to me. Yeah, that's it. One has to see what would please Krishna, what doesn't please Krishna, making decisions on that. Obviously, there's certain times when devotees undergo too much austerities and they hurt the body. Or devotees go to a certain place and preach when it's extremely dangerous. They shouldn't have been there. I remember devotees got, I'm not mentioning names, they were in certain countries and they got killed. They shouldn't have been there. It's not that, you know, we're not ready just to like die like that. You understand? Prabhupada was very concerned when the devotees were in anxiety. Prabhupada was pacing up and down until the devotees came. That was Brahmananda. And Prabhupada was very happy, no, you don't need to go there. So, you know, there's certain times, certain austerities. You know, we don't want to hurt the body, we don't want to, there's a limit. You know, if you need a certain facility, accept that facility. It's not that you have to sleep on the floor. I mean, I don't sleep on the floor anymore. I have like 20 mattresses, so I don't feel anything. No, not that bad. Not that bad. But I don't do it because, you know, I need more facility. I need more facility than I did as a brahmacharya. I'm not going to start sharing clothes with everybody anymore. You know, I accept more facility because I need it for my service. But if it wasn't for the service, you know, I could, I mean, actually, my favorite activity, if I, you know, if I just could think of what I would like to do, I would just like to camp out and go around Braj right now. Go to Vrindavan and just like get a tent and sleeping bag and just go do Madhukari. You know, Madhukari means go to people's homes, ask for roti, which I don't eat. So, at least I ask pizza at everyone's home. So I would go to I mean, I would love to do that, but, you know, Krishna doesn't have that in mind for me. Just like a camping trip for months, just by myself. And my nature is actually to be by myself. You know, even though I appear very sociable and I'm shy. No, not. But anyway, even though I appear very sociable, but, you know, really, there's a subtle nature inside that really, like, wow, I could be in Braj just chanting and enjoying without 10,000 people following me around. That would be nectar. But it's not going to happen because it's not what Krishna wants. So we do this austerity, you know. Do this austerity. I mean, yeah, that would be my favorite vacation. I mean, I like Fiji, but being in Vrindavan and camping out and just thinking of Krishna and just chanting the holy names, wow. Maybe one day Krishna will let me do that. And that's what the Goswamis of Vrindavan did, isn't it? Hey Radhe, Raja Devake, Hey Nanda Shunokutel, right? They would go around Vrindavan, Krishna, Radharani, where are you? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, I'd love to do that, but no, Prabhupada said, no, no, no. You rascal. You know, when I think of doing that, I just hear Prabhupada's voice saying, you rascal. You just want to enjoy spiritual life instead of serving, you rascal. I mean, that's like a time when myself and another devotee were following Prabhupada around America. It's an interesting story. Like we flew to New York, Prabhupada saw us, flew to Los Angeles, Prabhupada, you know, just like a bunch of groupies following a rock and roll star. Prabhupada looked and said, don't you understand? You're not supposed to enjoy the spiritual master, you're supposed to serve him. Okay, yes sir. So we went out and preached, and the first devotee I met was a devotee who lives at Mayapur right now, Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj. We made him a devotee. And anyway, so that's the way I think. You know, even though I'd like to do a lot of things, you know, right now in my life, I definitely would like to be at Govardhana, just die, Giriraj. But Prabhupada says no. And I'm happy. I'm happy because I'm disciplined by Prabhupada's desire. And that's not that I'm not complaining to you all. And then when I go to Govardhan now, you know, first, it was an interesting thing, when I first got a house in Govardhan, I thought, this is great, just go down, enjoy life. But then all of a sudden I discovered every time I went to Govardhan, there were like 50 devotees came to join me. And I had to become a mother and a father to all of them, and a babysitter. I thought, what happened? Aren't I supposed to enjoy? Krishna, what are you doing to me? But anyway, Krishna has a plan. I'm his servant. Isn't it? We're Krishna's servant, or Krishna doesn't, you know, we're enjoying. But we're enjoying the way Krishna wants us to enjoy, and that's real enjoyment. Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything. You will remain my worshipful Lord. Unconditionally, right? So I think we have to end. Oh my God. We're going to be in trouble with Gordon Tai. So, I'm not happy now. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Jai! Shishi Gwanatai, Gwanatai Kijai.
Next round.